Welcome back to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld, and I have two of my favorite people here with me who are discussing the leading edge of consciousness, of contact, of ETs, of the future. They are my good friend Sheila Seppi, and I have to say the grand dame of UFO investigations and regressions and the understanding of the phenomena, Barbara Lamb. Thank you both for being here.
Thanks.
And they have a thank you. And they have a new book, Cosmic Convergence. This is really fantastic. So Sheila, I know you've been behind hybrids and walk-ins and all that. Do you want to start to explain? I mean, I've read parts of it. It's really well written.
Sure.
It's really, do you want to
Uh-oh.
explain your
Thank
approach
you.
here?
Yeah.
Yes.
So, I am super excited that I have out this new book, Cosmic Convergence, and it is The Journeys of Walk-in Starseeds and Hybrids. And many of you may know that my first book, Walk-ins, Cosmology of the Soul, was literally 100% all about walk-ins. But since the time that that book was released, I have learned so much, not just about walk-ins, but starseeds and hybrids. And the reality of it is, after I started sharing my story, I became acquainted with more and more walk-ins and found out that there were a lot more types, if you will, of walk-ins or soul augmentations than I had previously expressed in the book. So I wanted to bring that forward. I also wanted to talk about the reality, the universal reality, the multidimensionality of reality, because, as within, so without, as above, so below. And we are a reflection of that multidimensional reality. So I wanted to start the book itself out by talking about those different facets, everything from the difference. Well, first off, I talk about soul and what a soul is and the ascension process of the soul. I talk about dimensions and densities and the difference because sometimes people, interchange those words. But to me, the dimensions are very different perceptions or the consciousness that people hold. And the density is really the space that vibrates that contains all of those densities. And then, of course, I also have to talk about the harmonic universe as well. But in that, we also talk about parallel universes and just all kinds of, multi.
Yeah,
Go
no,
ahead.
that I know, no. I just want to bring Barbara into the conversation because I know she has so much to say from her years of experience. So you collaborated with Barbara, and so you're the sole investigator. And Barbara, what I mean, maybe you do that too. What would you say your role in the book was?
Well, mostly to give examples, case studies of people who are walk-ins, people I have worked with, a few of them, about five of them, I think, and then examples of case studies, people I have worked with who are star seeds, and case studies, people I have worked with who are hybrids. So I think Sheila had a really wonderful idea to incorporate those into the book. Sheila's part is just totally brilliant, wonderful overview of these phenomena. And then we're sort of balancing that out with specific cases of specific people who have experienced being walk-in starseeds or hybrids. So that work all comes from my personal consulting with people, and in particular, my regression work that I do.
How many years have you been doing that, Barbara?
Well, since 1991, I actually was doing past life regression therapy since about 1984, and occasionally I still do that when requested. But 1991 is when people started coming to me because they had very peculiar things happening to them that they really wondered about very seriously. And those peculiar things, in so many cases, turned out to be extraterrestrial encounters that they had experienced. And so out of that work with experiencers of extraterrestrial contact. Occasionally, somebody would come to me for that reason and then discover very definitively that they were a walk-in or a starseed or a hybrid. So it's kind of grown in my awareness over the years, and really in a very practical way, working directly with people who experience being one of those three types of beings.
You know, this, Sheila and Barbara, it seems like the evolution of a spiritual consciousness, the kind of fabric of the soul itself. I mean, this is where ETs intersect with spiritual awareness, and you've done such a good job. I just want to read the opening paragraph because it is so well written from this book, Cosmic Convergence. It says, "In the kaleidoscope of human experience, where the boundaries of reality blur and the mysteries of the cosmos beckon, there exists a phenomena that challenges the very fabric of our understanding, the emergence of walk-in starseeds and hybrids. These alchemical beings traverse the realms of human consciousness, embodying a synthesis of terrestrial and extraterrestrial origins and carrying within them the seeds of transformation and evolution." That is really, really a great opening shot there. So, where are we? I mean, this is coming up, but talk about the seeds of evolution and transformation, Sheila. What's
Well,
happening?
in my opinion, we are all on this evolutionary path. The only reason that humanity even exists is because of the evolution of the soul. In my opinion, we all began with that source energy. We have various inception processes that we go through, but life itself is all about the experience. Right now, we're opening up, we're having these awakenings that allow people to understand that they are, number one, so much more than they have been told, but number two, that they are connected with all things, that they themselves are multidimensional, and that we live in this multidimensional reality. Everything, from the planes of existences to parallel universes, and the fact that we are now living in the time where the event or the shift or this true expansion of consciousness is really happening, I think is very, very exciting. So I was looking at trying to really present some type of a book that people could use kind of as a reference manual. Everything from the, glossary of terms to breaking these concepts down as simple as possible so everyone could understand who we are and how we fit in the universal kaleidoscope.
Right, it's so complex, Barbara. How do you find your way through the dimensions and the realities? And I mean, because the universe is complex. So this earth plane is the simplest of all, and there's this amazing intricacies of vibration and feeling. But how do you navigate in those realms, Barbara?
Well, I keep learning all the time. When I started doing this part of my work back in the 1980s, then, I mean, it was a big, big opening for me then, to learn about past lives and how they can affect this life of a person. And, really got very involved in that work as part of my ongoing psychotherapy practice. And then when people started coming to me in 1991 for having visits from and encounters of various kinds with extraterrestrial beings, that began to open up so much more about reality, open it up for me, for my realization. And so over the years, I've been having much more of a sense again and again of these other beings, including extraterrestrial beings and other beings who are other dimensional beings. No, I did not know about that before I started working with this. And then people started reporting, or some people anyway, started reporting that visitors in their room at night or wherever they were seemed to be not physical and solid as we experience ourselves to be, but seemed to be not only from somewhere else, but from another dimension. So that whole understanding of other dimensional beings opened up for me more and more with each person who came with that. And of course, with each person who came for regression, they would have maybe a different kind of being, a different kind of extraterrestrial or other dimensional being. So it's been, over the course of these years, it's been a huge variety of beings that have been visiting people, according to the people I've worked with. So gradually, I kept opening up more and more. You ask how I navigate this. It is an incredible reality that we are living in, and I found it very exciting personally, with each other aspect that opened up to my awareness from these people who came to me. So it's been really quite a thrilling, exciting ride from my point of view. And fortunately, the people who have come to me have expressed that it's been extremely helpful for them to know what's going on for them, that they have only consciously known a little bit about until they do the regression.
Well, you're working with an insider there, Sheila. I mean, she is a traveler from through dimensions. I mean, her name really isn't Sheila, it's some other vibrational shift. But yeah, and Sheila's an incredible resource for this whole field. I mean, you kind of revolutionized the field in a sense, Sheila. People talked about walk-ins, but you kind of grounded it in a practical application. Do you want to say more about that work that you've done?
Well, one of the things that I found to be exciting, someone was interviewing me the other day, and sorry, that's my dog on the keyboard. Someone was interviewing me the other day, and they were like, this is so great that we can have these conversations because I really like to normalize these types of concepts. And I'm thinking, well, I do too, because it's my life. And, if someone had explained that in the future, 24 years from 1999, that I would be sitting here talking with you and explaining about walk-ins, I would have never believed it because my mind was so closed and so, I had never even read a metaphysical book. And so to be able to talk about walk-ins and the facts that we are here, to be able to talk about star seeds, because truly I believe most everyone here on the planet is a star seed, to talk about hybrids in a very normal conversation where people are not thinking, oh my gosh, this is the craziest thing I've ever heard, but oh yeah, this is very plausible. I think that's very exciting to me. And it really helps me because when I first released the first book, I mean, I had everything from people telling me I was going to die and burn in hell to I'm coming to your house and burning a cross in your yard to, I mean, some of the craziest letters and things. And now it's only letters of support. So for me, that shows how consciousness, even in the last 5 years, has really began. I was going to say migrate because it's really migrating back into what it truly already is.
Right. Well, I was going to ask you both about what's happening now in the general population. Disclosure is coming closer to revelation. This I was actually in Washington. I went to the congressional hearings
Oh, you
where
did.
Yes, it's very exciting. It was, Danny Sheehan was there, and lots of people were there. Randall Nickerson from the Ariel School, and so it was like a little UFO convention there. James Fox was there, and but anyway, so the Congress is getting aware of just the most superficial level of what we're talking. Oh yeah, there's UFOs out there, Oh yeah, there's something out there. Now we're going diving to the other edge of the whole thing, not only UFOs, but who's on it, where they're from, what's the nature of the soul. How do we start to bridge the general public and those that used to not have a clue now start to have a clue with this deep, deep dive into the nature of the ET souls? And I mean, how do we start to bridge that? I'm really interested in that. Anybody,
Well,
Barbara? Yeah.
we're doing what we can individually as we speak to people, and of course with the things that we write and our own podcasts and so forth. I think Sheila and I are among a wonderful grouping of people, whether we know each other or not, who are really trying to get the word out through various means publicly, to acquaint more and more of the public with these realities that we have come to know. And I think that's very good. I hope that eventually in the congressional hearings, there will be able to be somebody there speaking up for these aspects that we know about and we talk about. In other words, the actual beings in those UAPs that
Right.
are being recognized these days, and how much more there is to all of this. It's not
Right.
just a matter of national security, although that's important. I respect that. But it's so much more in terms of the beings, the dimensions, the type of intelligent life that there is in the whole universe, and how we have the opportunity to know more and more about all of that, not
Well,
through our government, but through people's actual experiences and
experience,
people
yes.
like Sheila being here from another realm and
Yes.
being so effectively and wonderfully here. So that's really growing slowly, like the awareness of the UFOs over
Right.
decades grew slowly.
But Barbara, I want to ask you, because you were a colleague of John Mack, who was so instrumental in waking people up to the reality of the experiencers interchain. What do you have to say about the work of John Mack and the legacy he left, and what we can learn from what he brought forth?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked about John Mack.
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, we were not only colleagues doing the same kind of work, but we were friends too. And I had the enormous pleasure of escorting him into crop circles in England in the summer of 2004, just a couple of months before he was killed. And so I had 10 days of being with that wonderful man, discussing everything. And he was such a way shower, a groundbreaker, in daring to not only work with people who'd had these encounters with the other beings, but in publishing about it and being a professor at Harvard, where he knew that that was not going to be accepted very well. And of
Wow.
course, they really tried to get him expelled,
They did.
lose his professorship, but he just kept on. Daniel Sheehan helped him a lot.
Yes.
And I wrote a letter on his behalf to say this is very, very valid, true work that he is doing. And many other people did as well. So anyway, he just really opened the door in such a respectable way. Sensible way, knowledgeable way, professional way, with no sensationalism, No, look at me and all the weird things I'm doing. No, it wasn't that way at all. It was very scholarly, very professional. And I came to know some of those experiencers, several of them, including Randall Nicholson.
Yes.
They all attested to the fact that he was so kind, considerate, open-minded, helpful, and that
Yeah.
he was really excited with everything that he learned from them. He
Absolutely.
always made the point that these people who came about extraterrestrial encounters, that they were very sane, well-functioning people. And he was a psychiatrist
Yes.
and a teacher of psychiatrists. So he really knew what he was talking about. He
Yeah.
could.
He was the head of the Harvard Medical School of Psychiatry. That's why Harvard got so upset when he started to talk about ETs.
Right.
But wait, Barbara, I have to ask you one more question because legend has it that you got a message from John from the other side. Can you, what I've heard rumors, maybe I've even heard you tell it, but what was the circumstance and what did he say?
Well, he talked to me through a medium, and I didn't even expect it. I didn't go to the medium. This was a client who came to me for hypnosis for quitting smoking. This was in the year 2004, just a few weeks after he had been run over and killed in London. Anyway, this client came and said, "There's somebody here who wants to talk to you. I don't know if you believe in that sort of thing or not." And I said, "Yes, I do." And she said, "His name is John." And of course, immediately I thought of John Mack, because we had really been good friends and shared so much. And indeed, it was John Mack talking through this young woman client. And he talked for about 45 minutes,
Wow.
said all kinds of things. I asked questions.
You
He
have a
could.
record of that?
I did not record it. I'm so.
Oh.
I didn't expect it to happen.
Right.
So. My tape recorder equipment was across the room, not plugged in, no tape in it, and I just didn't want to miss the opportunity
Right.
of talking. I know that often spirits don't stay around very long, but I jotted down notes right afterwards, so I do remember quite a bit of it that way. So
What
one
did
of
he
the things
say?
I asked was, in the realm where you are now, do you ever see the souls of extraterrestrial beings? And he said, "Yes, if I look for it, I wouldn't normally see them. Most of us here would not normally see them, but if you look for it, if you want to see them, you can." In other words, the souls of extraterrestrial beings. And I said, "What do you think now of the whole phenomenon of people experiencing them?" And he said, "Well, it's just not exactly as we had thought it was." But he didn't delineate anything more after that. Yeah, so.
What do you make of that comment? I think that's what I've heard him say, but what do you make that, what does that mean? It's not what we thought it was.
I don't, well, I think number one, it validates that there are these other beings and they have souls. But as far as giving any more information about that, I don't know. Somehow our discussion went on to other topics and we never did come back to that. Another question I asked was, "What do you think happened at that last moment of your life? What ended your life?" Because there had been so much speculation that he must have been deliberately killed, taken out. So I wanted to ask it in a very neutral way. What do you make of it? What do you think happened? And that was the only time in that long conversation that he really paused for a moment or two. And then he said, "Well, let's just call it an accident." And he left it at that. But one of the things that stands out to me about that conversation was that he and I had been scheduled to give a lecture together with Joe Lules, another therapist doing this type of work. And that was to be a few months later in February of 2005 at the International UFO Congress. So since he, obviously, John, was not going to be able to be there, I asked John, "Would you like us to give the information in that conference that you would have given?" And he said, "Oh, yes, indeed, that would be fine." And I said, "But how would we know what you wanted to say in your part of the lecture?" And he said, "Oh, well, I've already got it planned. I have lots of notes, and they're all in a manila envelope in my office. It's in my home. And you can call Karen, the young woman who lived in the third floor of his home. And she was one of his experiencer clients. And she had come to England for that 10 days. So I knew her." So he said, "You could just call Karen and have her go down and look for the envelope." He described exactly where the envelope was, exactly where his desk was, and which room it was in his house. And so I did call her the next morning, and she went down and found the manila envelope and looked at it and said, "Yeah, it looks like all of his notes with the date of the conference coming up that they are to be used in." So
I
she
love
sent that to me, and I sent it to Joe, and
that.
we present what he wanted. So, but that I'm bringing that forth because I just wanted to emphasize that sometimes, as in this case, spirit communications can be so clear, specific, and accurate. Everything he said about what was in that big manila envelope was exactly what was in that envelope. So that was very
That is
heartwarming
so
and mind-warming for me.
amazing, amazing. But you know what's so strange? I just posted an interview I did with Karen from the time she worked with John from 2002. I just reposted that on my YouTube. She was also just speaking at the Soul Foundation in San Francisco with Gary Nolan, and she works for Jeffrey Kripal, I just heard, because I hadn't heard from her in a long
Oh,
time. I
good.
didn't talk to her, but she works for the Archives of the Impossible at Rice University. So I'll send
Wow.
you that interview of
Oh,
my
I'd love to hear that. Yeah,
it's a mixture. Yeah, a
Karen is
mix.
a very interesting woman.
Yes, well, yes, we'll talk about that. But Sheila, Barbara talked about the soul and the soul of ETs. And are there distinctions? Are there souls of ETs that are different than the souls of humans? That's the part I don't really understand. The nature of it, because essentially, we are our soul is beyond the human realm, so we actually may be the souls of ETs. I mean, how do you understand the soul within the context of the whole galactic framing? I mean, I don't really get the different distinctions of ET souls and human souls and hybrids. Can you talk about that, Sheila?
I sure can.
Good.
I have one comment to make, though, before I get into that. One of the things, because when I left my body, and I have memories of leaving my body, going to the other side, and some of the things that occur once we leave our body. And there are states that we will remain in that we are still very much attached to our human identity. And during those states, just like with Barbara, if John wanted to reach out to her and to share all of this information, he has everything right there readily available to go. Now, prior to my incarnation, I came in from a collective of beings. I cannot say that there was one earthling in there. So, my collective, when I, or my first memories of my collective was angelic, Arcturian, Andromedan. I have all kinds of different types of extraterrestrial lifetimes, where if this is our oversoul, all of these are different lifetimes that we can be having simultaneously, as in multidimensional lifetimes, or here can be the Sheila in this lifetime, because I'll go back to the collective and have my Arcturian and my Andromedan and my angelic and have all of the mantis, etc. And it all inside of here, it's all one soul. There is no differentiation. The only differentiation is the type of experience that we're choosing to have at any given moment. But when we return as soul beings or soul aspects. And eventually, this will start to go all the way back up to the master over soul, all the way back into the monadic experience, all the way back in to source energy itself. And then we'll start all over again. And so when we look at a soul, there are so many aspects that people really have not been told about. Most people are not raised as a child that you may be having another lifetime, a simultaneous lifetime. You could be experiencing a parallel reality. We're not told that, or at least I wasn't as a child. I was told that, you were born, you lived a good life, you died, you went to heaven, you went to hell, and that was about it. And even as a child, that didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But having come in and holding the memories of that collective energy and being able to, if you want to call download and upload information simultaneously, it makes a huge difference. And for me, soul is a soul is a soul.
Right. So when John Mack looked around and saw ET souls, is that because he was only at one level of his own soul evolution, or what's going on in that realm where
It
because
can be that the identity is still very much intact because we do retain that identity. Now, I know that when I go back, I'm going to go back into the collective and meld in with that consciousness. But just like when I incarnated, I needed to bring in an Arcturian aspect because the soul of this body previously had been Arcturian, very, very sick, but there was already a framework laid, so I didn't fry that. When the soul left, it went back by way of a ship. It went back to the
but you say
Arcturians.
Arcturian soul, but the soul is also like on that higher level, transcends the earth, the Arcturians, Assyrians, right? So on this.
Correct. It does, yet we retain our memories. You will never lose your Alan identity. You will always have that. That Alan will merge with all of the other aspects of your soul. And at any given time, if you need that Alan identity again, you can easily pull that out. I can remember thinking, being part of that collective, it's just pure energy. But I remember thinking of trying to raise my arm one time, and it was just like, twinklings of light. It's just this etheric plasmatic nature. However, when we bring that plasma into form, when we lock in this case, into a 3D form, then that aspect of us, which is still connected into a higher self, brings in a higher self stream, which attaches to the physical form, making a soul, which is the personality of this lifetime. And when it leaves, everything is about truly about the higher self, the experiences that it's having, the higher self streams, your spiritual bodies. Everything is etheric. What we see now is just, if you want to say, the aftermath of everything coming together, all of our templates merging, all of our soul identities merging in, bringing in the epigenetics of the soul, connecting in with the physical epigenetics to make who we are right now in this given moment.
But Barbara, when you do these regressions, because it is on a soul level that, yes, it's a human experience, let's say, intersecting with an ET, but on a soul level, from what Sheila said and what you feel, there's an evolution, right? Is there's a up.
Oh, yes.
Talk
So
about that. How does that happen? Yes.
as I understand it, the soul is always growing and evolving, knowing more and more, raising in consciousness is a way we could think of it, becoming more spiritually knowledgeable. And the soul, because it's evolving and growing, it chooses to come into various lifetimes for experience. Now, it's been said by many that Earth, planet Earth, among all the other planets, is a very unique place to have experience. And there is a lot here, a lot going on, many, many, many different aspects. And so if a soul is wanting to have more experience in order to expand and evolve the soul, which is ongoing forever, it chooses to come into different planets in different lifetimes for the kind of experience that it will have as that type of being on that type of planet. So what we know most of course, is about planet Earth because that's where we are and we are living human beings. So this is a very unique place and it has many wonderful, wonderful opportunities, pleasures, joys, love, and also many very difficult challenges. And each soul who's come here to be a human in this lifetime has decided to have its own unique kind of experience. Now, the three of us talking together right now have apparently have made the choice to have an incarnation in this earth, in this lifetime, that has a lot of challenges, but doesn't have things like bombs falling on us and being refugees, having to run for our lives and escape to another country and hope to be taken in. And, or in a very disease-torn country with no medical help available. In other words, or to be flooded out by a tsunami at a young age. So, in other words, there's so many more horrible things that do happen to some souls who have chosen to be humans, depending on the choice, the whole situation that they have chosen as a soul. To be born into and to live in. So
Well, we've
choice
also come
isn't
here. I think we've also come here, us and maybe everyone watching and the people reading your book, at this time of transformation where the awareness of the greater soul capacity is coming to us. So we're stepping out of, some people would say 3D, 4D, into this next dimensional world. So Sheila, you write about this in the journey part of the book and talk about where we're going and what we need to do as human beings to make sure we got this 3D covered. So, we can own the experience of this kind of, I wouldn't say lower dimensional, but this dimensional human being experience and move to new experiences because new experiences expands the capacity of the soul. I mean, so do other experiences. But yeah, talk about that.
That's one of the reasons why I wanted to start the book talking about dimensions and densities, because right now we are all living on a 3D planet. Now, to me, that's our 3D density, not dimension. It's a density because we're carbon-based beings, we're self-aware, we have free will, we're involved with all the elements, etc., and we are carbon life beings. As we live here, however, we can hold the capacity for our consciousness to operate in many, many different realms. We can move easily And most of us are moving in to that 5D unification consciousness through the expanded awareness. A lot of us are moving into the consciousness of the light body and working with those archetypal patterns and, cosmic laws and divine intelligence. Others may be holding a seventh dimensional consciousness, which is that spiritual realization and enlightenment, and where consciousness begins to merge, and so forth and so on. What's happening right now, however, is because we as individual beings within our cellular structure have the capacity to hold light. Because we are light beings. People tell me sometimes when I'm working with them, they're like, "Do you have a session where you can just turn me into my light body?" And I'm like, "Well, guess what? You already are your light body. You're just covered up by your human space suit for now, okay? But you have that ability, and that light body really imprints on the physical structure. And as we increase the density of our consciousness, the dimension, I mean, of our consciousness, we're able to hold more light. As humans in general begin to hold more light, we're affecting the collective consciousness. And as the collective consciousness begins to hold more light, it is elevated. And many, many people are working so hard on themselves, and I don't think they realize that it's not just for them, it's for everyone else. It's for that collectiveness. As that collective consciousness raises, when we reach such a density that we can hold a certain frequency, then we will shift into that next phase of our beingness, which is that carbon silica life form. And that's where we really move into that higher consciousness and the expanded awareness, and we live in unity consciousness. Now, a lot of us talk about unity consciousness, but we have to embody that unity consciousness, and we will be embodied. And from there, we'll start to work on other things, divine law, cosmic law, the higher mental faculties. So we are in that process right now of moving and transitioning into this next density, this next form of humanness. And, as we've talked about that new human.
Yeah, do you think there's a question in the chat? There's a live chat going on about, and maybe for both of you, but why would a soul choose to suffer or have such awful experiences? I mean, I could say in my past life, if it's real, then I was in this concentration camp in Germany or wherever that was, Poland. That was not a picnic. That was not a fun
Right.
lifetime and awful experiences. But I guess there's something that is learned from that. What, Sheila? What
Yes,
do you think?
absolutely. Yeah, what I was going to say is when we come into this life, we do not come into this life holding our human consciousness as we are today. We are developing our birth plan. And when we develop that birth plan, we're looking with our spiritual eyes. We're looking with that, desire to expand our souls. We're not looking at it like, oh, if I hit my finger with the hammer, it's really going to hurt. Because on the other side, we don't experience that. And maybe some people are like, hey, I've never experienced that. I'd like to know what that's like. But when we come in, we definitely have like these themes in our lifetime. So when people come in to suffer and they are suffering in their lifetime, I mean, no one in their right mind would say, oh, yeah, I'm going to suffer in this lifetime, because we're looking at it with human eyes. But maybe that suffering has to do with learning forgiveness. And I always talk with my clients about the fact that anytime you're triggered about anything, it has nothing to do with the other person. It has 100% to do with you and how you are interpreting that and the healing that needs to take place. And really, instead of becoming angry, you can drop into gratitude that that person is giving you that opportunity to experience it. Now, I know when bad things are happening to us, the last thing we can do is drop into gratitude. But if we can work on that and we can look to see what is the lesson, What am I learning from this suffering? What have I learned? Is it compassion? Is it forgiveness? Is it self-love? Is it worthiness of love? What is it that I'm learning from this situation? Then we're able to look at all of the trauma with a little bit of a different, viewpoint.
Is that how you worked with people, Barbara? Because you used to do past life regressions, and I'm sure there were some moments that weren't pleasant. How do you work with people through talk about how you worked with people and those lessons that people would learn?
Well, it's really astonishing the different kinds of things that can come up in past life regressions. I mean, the multitude of kinds of experiences that people have had, even regular everyday people, quote unquote normal people, today, have had a whole variety of experiences. There is an aspect of this too, which we call karma. And I don't mean to just use that in a trite sense, as it often is sort of flipped around. Oh, bad karma, good karma, But we find out that if a person has an issue, let's say the person today has had an abusive childhood. And then we do a regression to find out where that came from. I mean, why was it that that person had an abusive childhood? Very, very often, we find that the person had been in a previous life, had been a perpetrator of that particular kind of abuse. And so the soul, after that lifetime, decided, I guess I need to really experience what it's like to be the recipient of that kind of abuse rather than the perpetrator. And it goes even further than that, that we in the Past Life Regression Therapy Association, we exchange stories and cases that we work with very frequently. And it's come out from many of us that there's a third part of this dynamic I have just talked about. In other words, a soul might have been a perpetrator of a particular kind of abuse in one life, and then in the next life, the recipient of that kind of abuse. And then in the next lifetime, that person might be the helper, helping people who are the victims of that kind of abuse. And when we began to compare cases that we had worked with over a period of a number of years, that theme came up again and again. So we decided there's sort of a trilogy, one lifetime experiencing one aspect, another lifetime experiencing opposite aspect of that, and the third maybe working to help the victims of that, or
Wow.
in some cases, helping the perpetrators to get out of being a perpetrator.
That gives the soul a total well-rounded way of looking at that situation from all sides. I never heard that before. That's interesting.
Well, I think that's very significant, actually. And it does seem to happen again and again if a person is willing to look at it in more than just one session for one lifetime. But usually there's a connecting link. So from lifetime to lifetime, we can easily experience, a whole variety of things, like we'll be male in some lifetimes and females in other lifetimes, will be wealthy and have a luxurious life in some lifetimes, and other ones will be suffering with poverty, barely getting along, maybe starving to death. And just whatever issue there is over many, many lifetimes, we have probably experienced all aspects of that issue, whatever
Well,
it is.
That's what I was thinking about asking you both, because we're talking about human dramas and human sufferings on other star systems, other planets, other hyperdimensional lifetimes. Do those same dramas still exist? Because they seem very human, or are there different adventures, unimaginable? I mean, I think it would be fun to have a different sort of adventure.
Well, I'll be happy to talk about that, but I do want to mention and just add one thing to what Barbara was talking about is I have had the opportunity in working with my collective to, really delve in and ask a lot of questions about that the soul review after the lifetime and how we plan our next lives. And one of the things that they shared with me, it just like 5 seconds, and honestly, it felt like an eternity. They said, when you have your life review, there's no one judging you. It's you. And you experience how you impacted everyone around you and the ripple effect that you had. And I was shown like all of these various layers out that something that you can say now is shared with someone who shares with someone who shares with someone that impacts that fourth or fifth layer down so positively that they have a life-changing event. And the same thing can happen negatively. And you will experience exactly how it made someone feel. So that is what allows us to grow and to expand. Also, when I work with clients, I also do some hypnotherapy, but more, I work with the holographic grid of the body. So when I look at someone, it's like I'm seeing, when I'm in that state, it's look like I'm seeing like this graph paper, and that go it's superimposed into the field, and it goes left and right, front and back, literally through eternity. And I've been taught about the ley lines of the body and the different functions of the body and what all of this stuff that I'm looking at means. A lot of times when people come in, they bring in what's called soul wounds. And these are things that they want to heal from a past life. These are things that they wanted to work on. I have seen people who have had traumas in craft. I have seen people who have been part of wars on other planets. I have witnessed mothers and fathers experiencing the loss of their children. And so there are a lot of experiences that we do have when we are in other forms outside of this human experience.
Wow, that makes sense.
I would
Yeah,
like
go
to
ahead,
add
Barbara.
too that humans have more of a capacity for emotion and all kinds of emotions, much more so than the other species, as far as I have been able to find out about it. And that's one of the reasons why the other species say that they are so interested in humanity and visit a lot of people on Earth. Because they're quite, I mean, there are many reasons why they do that, but one of them is that they're very intrigued about the capacity that we humans have for emotion and all that that leads to, as Sheila says, how that emotion just radiates out from each of us for better or for worse. And it really does affect other people in our lives and affects the environment even. It's interesting to me that a soul will sometimes choose to be a human and experience all of these things that we experience with the emotion. And then in other lifetimes, they can choose to be one of the other beings on another planet or a being in another dimension. So, I mean, the choice is absolutely huge. And we so often look at the whole thing like I did until well into my adult life. We can look at it as, oh, any life anywhere has got to be like us. Maybe not look like us, but sort of function and feel like we do, but that is not so. There are plenty of species out there that don't experience things at all the same way that we do because they don't have that capacity of emotion.
Right. You know, Bashar says this is the lowest it gets. This is the densest it gets. And get it while you can, because we're moving out of here, you know. Get that density, take it in, because, you know, in this evolution. So yeah, I'm interested. What are the adventures of other star seeds, of fifth dimensional beings? I mean, maybe we won't know till we actually all get there, but what do you suspect, Sheila? What's the adventures of these other realms? What's the experiences that need to be learned? And maybe that's like talking to a kindergarten person about, you know, algebra or something, but maybe give us a taste of what you suspect these other realms are about.
Well, I can tell you from my point of view, coming in and being part of that collective energy. I mean, it is so far love and light, but it's also learning and experiencing. You know, I've never ever experienced the type of love or even the unconditional love that you have on that other side and being part of that collective. Now, when I'm talking collective, that's the overall collective that I came from. I remember some of our other experiences that we were having, but we had already merged consciousnesses and was in the process of merging with other like beings when we came and was working on the crystalline grid. But even here, working on the crystalline grid, we merged with other consciousnesses that, I mean, I can't even begin to explain the love and the compassion and the peace that is there. That's what I experienced. Now, I know there's other types of experiences we can incarnate and, you know, we can have other experiences and go from, you know, other planetaries, you know, go into different even universes. And all of the experiences are very, very different. But for me, bringing that through, that is what I remember, is that peace and that love and the compassion. And I think we all get to experience that, but we also then determine what's next for us. What are the goals that we didn't achieve? What do we need to next do to be able to expand our souls? Because, you know, Barbara's heard me say this time and time again, it's not like we just sit around on a cloud drinking cappuccino. You know, we're about the soul evolution. And if you were on the cloud, I tell you, you'd get bored because eternity is a long, long time. But it's all about evolving back into that source energy through experience.
What other experiences are there for soul's evolution? What would an experience be like that would evolve the soul? Maybe we're
Well,
learning it day by day,
if you're
but.
looking, yeah, if you're looking like in an incarnational process, you could be looking at, you know, having a lifetime on another planet as a being in particular situation. You could also look at the expansion experience and coming back and being a spirit guide for someone. Or coming back and helping a planetary consciousness. You know, when a lot of people incarnated on this earth, they came at the beck and call of Gaia and they merged consciousnesses with Gaia and they have experienced lifetime after lifetime on this planet and have experienced everything there is to be from a raindrop to the ocean to a human to a blade of grass to a tree to an animal to a human. And so, you know, our experiences of consciousness only continue to grow as we have those consciousnesses. We want to evolve to that place where we're experiencing unconditional love. We want to evolve to those places to where we become enlightened beings ourselves. We become the ascended masters, and we become the embodiment of universal consciousness. And maybe we become the cosmic architects of other universes or the overseers of universal law. So there's so many opportunities for the soul. It's just a plethora of experiences. Thank goodness we're multidimensional beings and can have multiple experiences all at once.
Well, yeah, what about you, Barbara? I mean, you've had a lot of experiences. What else do you want to experience here? What's your vision for the future? Yes.
Well, I am hoping that people in humanity will keep understanding these things more, asking questions more, evolving more, growing, expanding, taking in more. And I think that right now, at this particular time in the world, that we have an opportunity to do that because we have people like Sheila and the other Walkens and starseeds and hybrids who are bringing so much larger perspective. And I think more and more people are opening up to that. Again, we have so many opposites going on in the world. And I'm sure that's true at any one time, but we know about it a lot now in particular. But on the whole, as time progresses, hopefully more and more humans will be opening up to all these other aspects of humanity and reality that we have been talking about. So I think in that sense of it's getting better and better, and blessed are the people who are bringing out these other aspects, particularly the inspiring aspects, that there is so much that we can choose, experience as souls. And, not to get so stressed about who you don't like or whose politics you don't like or whatever, the more picky things. But we really need to expand beyond all of that. And hopefully that's happening.
Yeah, no, when I asked that question, what came to me is the new experiences of being creative in new ways, in art, in music, in writing. And I think that's part of our soul's destiny is to make known the un I had a teacher who said, we're here to make known the unknown, which is to cre add to creation as creators. And that has a level of soul satisfaction when you add or create new ideas, new structures, new paintings, new songs. All that adds to the experience that is kind of satisfying on a soul level. That's my answer to my
Oh,
question.
that's a nice one.
Thank you.
Probably all of the above.
Yes.
Yes.
Things that we're not
Yeah.
So, but let's talk about where we're going. Where's the journey? How are we gonna get to this next level as a human race? How are we gonna graduate from 3D to 5D, 6D? I mean, yes, we're welcoming ETs that are helping to raise the vibration. We're acknowledging star seed frequencies. We're realizing our own soul's capacity. But is there one anything else we can do to raise our frequencies and expand our soul capacity? Any Barbara,
Well,
just share.
Alan, when I'm thinking about that question, what really is coming to mind is as we are growing, what's actually happening is our consciousness is expanding because we're able to now understand these new and higher concepts. Using the extraterrestrials as an example, someone who doesn't believe in them has an experience where they see a craft in the sky. Not only does that open them up to, oh my gosh, Maybe there is life on other planets, but it can also open them up. And to what else is there that I'm not really thinking about? You know, we in the in 3D, you know, we're self-realized. But I think now we're understanding, well, yeah, we're self-realized, but we're part of the whole. And as we operate as part of the whole, as we even drop in to, you know, like that, the Buddhic thinking, and we start working with love and compassion, you know, we bring about spiritual enlightenment. We're able to touch other people's lives. We're helping them to experience unconditional love and moving into that oneness. I think that's where we're going. And it may not be spoken that way. Someone might have this epiphany or this realization that opens them up to hold higher conscious capacity.
And Barbara, you've done this work, you said, for 30 or something years. Is there a difference in the quality of the sessions? Are people seeming more evolved, or are they still asking the same questions? What's your perspective on that?
Oh, I am so pleased that you asked that, that you brought that out. Yes, because starting in 1991 up till maybe about 3 years or so ago, people were mostly coming because they were very puzzled about unusual, anomalous experiences that they had had, and they wanted to know what was really going on. And that took us very frequently into the extraterrestrial encounters that they had had. But in the last 3 years or so, in particular, more and more people have coming to me, not for that reason, but in order to go into that deeper state of hypnosis and knowing, and to find out what their real purpose is in life. So, most of these people have had a sense before coming to me, a sense of really wondering, very often, wondering, you know, why am I really here? And they have felt that there is sort of a purpose or a mission for their being here that they have not fully gotten in touch with. And they wanted to be sure to do that mission for the rest of their lives. So, in many cases, these people are already in their 30s or 40s or 50s, 60s, and they know that they have some time left to get to that purpose, and they better just hurry up and do it. So, that takes them not into an extraterrestrial experience in the regression, but it takes them to hearing from their own higher self, their own higher knowing, their soul wisdom. And in some cases, that involves that they have connections, whether they know it or not, with certain extraterrestrial or other dimensional beings who are really encouraging them to, well, to specify the mission that they're here, to use the abilities that they already have to complete that mission, or to get extra training to develop certain abilities that so that they can carry out that mission. So the mission may or may not involve extraterrestrial beings, but still, it's the choice of the soul. The soul has come for a reason. Now, in the case of the star seeds, they are all here for service. We go into this in more depth in the book Cosmic Convergence. But thank you. But they may have extraterrestrial beings inspiring them, giving them downloads of information, giving them little hints, little nudges, little prods to go forth, to get out there and start using the abilities that they have, or they may not be aware of that, but there's always support they find of some kind, other dimensional beings, or extraterrestrial, in physical, beings, but they really are knowing on some level that they're here for a specific reason and they want to get on with it.
I'm thinking, Barbara, you might be getting those new types of clients because you're also evolved to a place where you can drop in and deal with that level of consciousness. Maybe you were before, but yeah.
Yes, I mean, I've had people again and again say, I've wanted to look into all this. I've wanted to have a regression for years now, but I just sort of haven't felt anybody was the right person to go to, not the right consciousness. And somehow I feel that I have seen you on some podcast or something. And I just sort of feel like you would probably understand these other dimensions, these other aspects that I'm becoming aware of. And so I have come to you. And I'm very pleased about that there is somebody, happens to be me, and I'm sure there are others as well, who have grown enough in their own understanding, as well as all the psychological parts, but enough in their sort of cosmic understanding that these people can be helped by that. And
Right.
we learn from every person as
Yeah.
well.
Well, this is such a good, complex book. And Sheila, you get very creative in your understanding of the soul. Can you talk about some of the soul mergings and soul weavings and soul threading? I mean, this is a whole new genre of spiritual knowledge besides all the ET and starseed stuff. Talk about that creative insight into this more complex nature of the soul, which seems to be really an original input into spiritual literature. So I'm interested in that.
Well, there's a lot that's happening on the planet right now, not just with soul evolution for walk-ins and star seeds, but everyone on this planet, because of all of the work that they're doing, are also having these evolutions because, as we've been talking, our souls are always growing and expanding through our experiences. And many people are really doing this high level work that's allowing them to be able to pull in more and more of their own soul, higher self, and anchor it into this reality. When a walk-in does that, a soul infusion is because a portion of the soul leaves and higher aspects of their own higher soul or even their oversoul aspect comes into the individual's soul consciousness. But what's happening right now is many people are not experiencing this leaving of a soul. They're experiencing an augmentation. And then there's also the soul mergers, and these soul mergers really resemble like a soul infusion, but they're very different in the significant aspects, again, that the natal soul remains firmly intact throughout the entire process, and a complete aspect of the oversoul or within the Shantias Khan or the multidimensional aspect of them comes in and it fuses with the natal soul. And this can lead, I mean, to profound, experiences within their consciousness. And it can bring about this deep, deep alignment with their higher self. And, I've talked about soul jumpers and poppers with souls that come in and out that really imprint and bring a lot of, high level information, and they infuse it into the individual. There's the things called the soul overlay, which can also help to shape the person's identity on this planet. Because if you have your natal soul that stays intact and it remains, you have another aspect that comes in which serves as either like a battery charger, or it can serve as a placeholder while the soul goes off and does whatever and then comes back in, because the physical body always has to be animated. These two can begin to merge, and things will start to not only appear differently to the person, but they're going to start appearing differently to everybody else. There's also what's called a soul step down or a step in, and like the a soul exchange, which I am, one soul out and another soul in, the same thing is happening here, only it happens multiple times throughout the person's lifetime. And I've talked with many people who have had these experiences, and I was just blown away, because I'm thinking of the integration process that I had to do, the healing of the body that had to occur, the expansion of the thought processes that took place. And I can't imagine someone experiencing that on a regular basis. And so, this is more of an orchestrated dance of the soul, if you will. There's also what a lot of people have been talking about as soul projections. Now, this is where you have an off-planet extraterrestrial, literally, that is projecting a portion of their soul or the entirety of their soul into a human form. Now, I'm not talking about doing that at birth. This is more of a walk-in or an experience that is occurring where the extraterrestrial wants to experience what it's like to have human form, and the soul of the body agrees to allow that to happen. And during this phenomenon, the original host may be awake and aware, or they may enter into some type of, a suspended state. But this is happening more and more, and I became aware of it from a lot of the different people that I've talked to. Now, we have what's called soul braids, and this is where you have two different souls that literally braid inside of the body. They may be positioned side by side, they could be intertwined, but unlike a soul exchange, one soul out, another soul in, the two souls begin to retain their autonomy, but they work as a single symbiotic unit. Then we have what's called soul layering, and a lot of people have been talking to me about this, because this is when multiple aspects of your soul will come in. And when you awaken to it, yes, it can be like, yes, I'm awakening as a star seed, but it also can be, I have this angelic aspect that's coming to the forefront that I'm working with. I also have an Andromedan aspect that my soul is working with, and they kind of change roles. And so there are so many different types of experiences that people are having on this planet. I wanted to include several of them in the book, and I know I've just scratched the surface.
Well, Sheila, you are so creative. Those are your terms that you created when you observed different soul configurations. That's, like I said, evolving the nature of spiritual understanding to another level. And I'm excited by that. And of course, it's all in this book by Barbara and Sheila. It's Cosmic Convergence. And Barbara, you have anything you want to add about how people can use this book for more self-discovery of their own nature?
Oh, definitely. Yes. The concepts that Sheila has brought forth are very expanding and enlightening. And then when they read about the specific kinds of beings, we focused on the walk-ins, the star seeds, the hybrids, that many people, kind of test themselves in reading this, test themselves against those concepts, like, oh, let's see. No, I don't think my life really changed suddenly overnight, like the walk-ins. I don't think I'm a walk-in, but maybe I'm a star seed. And they really look into that and find that maybe they have many of the characteristics that the star seeds have. Or they may realize that, oh my goodness, Yeah, there are experiences that I have had, like a sudden unexpected pregnancy without having been with a man for a long time, and then it was suddenly gone. They might realize that they are a mother of a hybrid child, or they might get other clues about the hybrids who are living here fully as humans, although they have extraterrestrial genetics. And that's why we call them hybrids. And they might relate more to those types of beings. And so it can be very helpful. Or maybe they read the whole book and they think, you know, I really don't have any clues that I could be either one of those three types of beings. But wow, have I learned a lot. And they might recognize some of those characteristics in certain people they know. And even if they don't, they just have a much more expanded view of reality. Their life is enriched by that, for sure.
Well, that's a great way of summing up this book. You will enrich your view of reality and your awareness will expand. The nature of your own being will deepen. You'll see there's so much more adventures in this great cosmos to be a part of. That's enough for everyone to read this book and more.
Right. Yes, and I hope so. And you know, it's broken down into digestible chunks. So someone can read a section, put it down, digest it, come back, read another section, and it doesn't have to be read in the order in which it's presented.
Because it's non-linear anyway, right?
Correct. Yeah. Right. And
So,
I think that really makes a difference. In life as it is now, everybody has so much on their plate. And, you know, if you get can sit down and have a half an hour to read here and there, you're very fortunate. And this is a perfect kind of book for that.
and it's by a great publisher, say the Sacred Stories, kind of series is about this. Ariel is publishing. She also publishes a Common Sentient series I've been doing lots of interviews about. And this is a really well-made book. It's on Amazon right now. Or is there a website for Cosmic Convergence particularly
You
or
know,
something?
you can go to both my website, sheilaseppi.com, and Barbara's website and find a little more information about it. It is on sale right now at Amazon and really all major book outlets.
Great.
And
Well,
it is going to be coming to an audio format sometime in the near future.
oh, great. You're both going to read that, maybe, the audio format?
I don't think so, but it'll be coming out.
Well, thank you. Go,
Person.
what, wait, Barbara, I missed that. What'd you say?
Some wonderful person will narrate it, the audio book.
Right. Well, you both have this distinct voices. But thank you. Let's do more of these. I mean, Sheila, you've had me on your show. I want to have you back on my show. Let's do maybe a panel discussion on the whole starseed
That would
walk-ins.
be amazing. And, you know, Barbara and I have even talked about doing some type of podcasting where we literally just take a section at a time and just dive into it. So that would be fun to do with you too.
Yes, let me know if you want to do that. Let's take a
Yeah.
section. I'll tell the audience what section to read, and we'll just dive in, and you guys can just do like a whole analysis of that.
Good. And you ask wonderful questions, Ellen.
Thank Yes.
you.
You know,
Thank you.
you are so expanded and knowledgeable yourself and bring out so much for other people.
Well,
It's
I
really
love this stuff. I love this stuff, and that's why I wrote my book, Making Contact, because it's another way to contribute to this whole field. And thank you. You gave me a great recommendation for that, Barbara. So thank you for that.
good. Oh,
And
you are
Alan,
welcome.
you know, I'm always in my gratitude
Oh.
to you because when I first came out, you know, I really put my toe in the water with that first book. And, you know, Alan would encourage me, well, do this and do that. And yes, you should talk more about what your abilities are. You should talk about this and tell people that. And he really was in my corner from the very beginning and opened so many doors for me that I am so
Wow.
grateful to you for everything, not just for me, but the impact that you make on everyone else's lives. So thank you for the work you do.
Well, that is
You're a
so
huge
sweet.
contributor.
Well,
Huge.
this is, thank you both. I mean, for us, for me, this is the most exciting thing happening is this conversation and how we're expanding and what these new realities, as I call my show, are unfolding. And I can't think of, doing anything else, right? Except exploring this. And Sheila, I loved when I first heard your story, I knew you were a miracle. I just felt you, right, Barbara? Isn't that
Yes.
and it's like you were so in a way raw and honest and open. And that's why I believed in you, Sheila, because you were
Oh,
just
thank you.
wonderful.
Right.
And thank you, Barbara, for your years of work and service and always being so nice and open and friendly. It's not always easy. There's a lot of people and a lot of different agendas, and you're always very pleasant, So thank you.
Thank
And thank you all for watching. We had a very lively live chat here, and some people had some great question. Let me see. Did I miss any questions there? I don't know. Amy likes walk-ins, her favorite topic. Anyway, there was lots of great people in the chat, Patrick and all that. So, thank you all. Subscribe to this channel and stay tuned for more episodes on new realities. And next year I'll be at the Sedona Ascension Retreat.